Cal walked into a bar and the barman said, "Sorry, there are others before you." And then the cow says, "Sorry, I'm not wearing a bra."
Welcome to season 2, episode 19 of 30 Something Gamers. Thank you for joining us. Today we are going to be listening about what I've played, which is a remastered classic and Boxy. That is a game that might have got me back into platinum hunting. Is that exciting, yeah?
No, not at all. You've only been retired from platinum hunting for like 5 minutes anyway, so I wouldn't exactly call that a retirement. That's more like an annual leave.
Okay, thank you for that.
Stint.
Then we will go on to Boxy's trivia, and then today, before our amazing video game buster, the best part of the episode at the end, we will be talking about Confessions of a Gamer. And the only reason we're talking about Confessions of a Gamer is Boxy loves his kinky priest voice. Isn't that true?
Oh yeah, hang on for that one.
Oh, hold on to your... It's not Cossacks, is it? What's that little white thing on the neck called?
Penis?
Yep, there we go. We've offended religions and races already. How far are we in? Less than 2 minutes? That's pretty good going. That is pretty good going. Anyway, Boxy, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. It's a late night recording, so a little bit tired, but we're going to get revitalized and energized with some good old gaming chat. So.
It is good. Well, if you at home, we normally do this with our cameras on. I brought my camera and I'm waiting for Santa to bring a new one. So basically, I can't have my camera on. Boxy doesn't let me look at his lovely face. He's sort of, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. So he's not showing us his face at the minute. So this question is, in our late night recordings, Boxy, we normally are having a drink. Have you got a drink tonight?
I've just got a glass of water with me. I'm being good because I was on holiday last week and I drank every single night. I did go to Disneyland, so it might be a little bit inappropriate to get drunk every night, but I feel like I need to detox a little bit this week.
Did you wake up with any ducks in your bed?
Hey.
I mean, that's when you know you've been to Disneyland, when you come back with herpes from Daisy Duck.
I met Woody.
I'm sure Daisy met Woody as well.
When you have a son who is completely obsessed with Toy Story and he only wants to spend all of his day in the Toy Story land, Disneyland can get boring.
Well, has he seen the new trailer? Because there's a new trailer dropped for Toy Story. Is it 5 now up to?
Toy Story 5. You know what? I was getting him ready and he wasn't playing ball. And I was like, look, if you behave, I'm going to put something on. You're going to really like it. So he got himself sorted. I put the trailer on, but it's only like 30 seconds long. And he finished it and he was just like, I want to go and see it. I was like, well, no, because it's not coming out till like next summer. So then I was kicking myself saying, mate, you really shouldn't have done that. Like now he's just going to be asking constantly to go and see Toy Story 5. I may just have to make a budget version of Toy Story 5 with toys that he's got.
You do look very Woody-esque. You could be Woody.
Oh, more like Mr. Potato Head.
No. You're definitely a Woody. You've got those gangly arms and stuff, and like, I'm probably taller than you, but you look lankier and taller.
Yeah, I still can't get over that you're actually a giant in real life.
Anyway, yes, that's what we're doing. So, I'm actually on the beer Moretti because it's been a heavy couple of days. As a teacher, it's been parents' evening. So I've been in from like, I wake up at 6:30, get the kids up, get ready, into work, and been finishing. Today we finished at 6:50. Some parent just wouldn't shut up, like the smell of their own shit.
You must have got on like a house on fire.
We didn't. You if you like the smell of your own shit, you don't get on with someone else that likes the smell of their own shit, because then you have a battle of whose shit smells the sweetest, and it is always mine, baby.
You say so.
Anyway, let's get on to some actual gaming. Just over 5 minutes in, so we're getting there. So there's two games. The first one, the remastered ones I've been was mentioning, is the Tomb Raider collection I've got recently. I was stubborn and refused to buy it digitally until it came out physically, which was a couple of weeks ago. So I've got the deluxe edition with all the nice steel book and the maps and all those things. And I love Tomb Raider. I've loved it always as a kid. And the first three sort of my loves, sort of like the three best games, I think. But I couldn't not, when I had the first one, I could not get the second one. So I'm playing through Tomb Raider 4, The Last Revelation. I'm playing through that one on stream. And I'm enjoying it. It's just good, standard Tomb Raider fun.
Isn't that the shittest one? Out of the PS1 ones?
Out of the PS1 ones, maybe, that are Chronicles. But it's still like the worst of a good bunch, if you know what I mean. It's still classic Tomb Raider. And I mean, you know what it is? I'm enjoying it, I think, more on stream than the first three. Because although I like the first three better, like, stepping away and if I say, what's your favourite? I'd go Tomb Raider 2, then Tomb Raider 1, then Tomb Raider 3. But I've played those games so many times, I know them inside out, and I'm just sort of going through the motions playing them, if you know what I mean. Whereas Tomb Raider 4, I think I probably played it when it first came out, and I've not really went through it since. So it's like playing a new Tomb Raider game, like old-school Tomb Raider game, because I just can't remember much of it. So I'm really enjoying that on stream at the minute, so that's cool.
Is that the one where your tutorial level is like you've got an explorer with you, like an old guy, and he's taking you?
Yeah, I keep calling him Von Troyer. I think he's called Von Crow, but I just call him Von Troyer because I accidentally called him that in at the start, and someone was like, that's the midget out of Austin Powers, and it just stuck. And I just keep saying it now because when new people pop in who like Tomb Raider, they're like, it's not fucking Von Troy. It's Von Croy, so yeah. Anyway.
Just on another point, did you put out like a call or something for like every single one of your community to be streaming Tomb Raider at the moment? Like, I go on and literally everyone is playing it. And you're like, I know you're like the R-Kalar or whatever. So did you say to everyone, oh, let's play Tomb Raider?
No, not at all. Like, I know that a couple of streamers in the community are Tomb Raider fans. Like, I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about Amelia and Vicky, who were streamers in my community.
And there was a few others as well.
Well, they probably like Tomb Raider more than me, and they've only recently started streaming, so they're playing games that they used to get used to sort of reading chat while being live, you know, while not saying stuff that'll get you thrown into prison, which is the hardest thing I find to do when I'm streaming, especially when it's full of fucking idiots in the chat. And that's just me community. Hello, community. There are a few people on there at the minute, but it's good. Just enjoy it. But there is a game. To be fair,
I didn't actually realise it was the new Tomb Raiders you were playing. I thought it was the old remasters, and I knew the 4, 5 and 6 one was coming out, but for some reason I had it in my head that they were Legend, Anniversary and Underworld.
No, so this is Tomb Raider The Last Revelation, Tomb Raider Chronicles, and then Tomb Raider The Angel of Darkness on the PS2. It's funny that you mentioned Tomb Raider Underworld there, because people keep mentioning that one on my stream, and I've knocked out this joke every single time they've said it, to the point everyone's completely bored of it. They're probably bored of it the first time I said it, but I keep referring. This is a deep take. You've got to be a proper British 30-something gamer to get this one. I keep saying, I didn't know they made a Tomb Raider game set in a Knickers factory in Coronation Street.
That completely goes over my head as well. I mean, it's something to do with...
You've never watched Coronation Street?
I mean, it's been that show that's just been on in the background for, like, years of my life, and I've never actually paid attention to it. My main problem with soaps in general is that there's no good point to join them, because all the characters are established, they've all got 101 story threads going on, and if you want to start joining it, you have to like get all the context and the relationships, and it's impossible. So what's the point?
All right, we'll move on. It was just a little simple play on words. There's a factory that makes lingerie because it's underwear called Underworld.
That's clever.
Anyway, the game that might have got me back into platinum hunting, and I don't think it has. I think it's just I might get the platinum for this game, is Sifu. I've been playing that off stream. Had a bit of time to myself, and I've been playing it, and I am absolutely adoring it. It's
so addictive, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and the gameplay loop of trying to get the next level with a younger age, and oh, it's great. If you've not played Sifu, it's basically a kung fu game. It's basically five levels that you work through in the game, but the sort of unique selling point in it is you have an amulet, and every time you die, it puts a year on your age. But the second time you die, it puts 2 years on your age, and the third time, three, and so on and so forth. And basically, you have to get to the last boss and take them out before you get, I think it's into your 70s. You can hit like 71, 72, 73, but if you die again, that's it. You're completely done. And I didn't know how it was going to work, but there's certain enemies that when you take them out, they'll take a year off your counter, and you sort of unlock skills so you can go back. And you unlock skills that stay with you all the time. So when you go back and play the level again, you've got more skills, so you should get through better. But I thought what was going to happen was you would get through each level and you'd get these skills, and it would just mean you could go back and you could piss them. You could just walk through. But it's not that at all. No. When you go back, you get better by learning the level, by learning the bosses. And it honestly, when you get through a level and you haven't died once, so you've only took a couple of deaths compared to when the first time you went through when you took like 7-8 deaths, it is so rewarding. And basically I finished the game, I got the bad ending. I'm only one little thing away from getting the good ending, and I could have got the good ending first time, but I thought I wanted to see what the two of them are. And then I think the hardest trophy to get that I'll have to is basically get to the end of the level under the age of 25. So I'm going back through trying to do perfect runs of the levels. And I think I'm three through and I'm only 21. Wow. So I'm really, really enjoying it. And just whenever I'm not streaming and I've got a bit extra time, plowing time into that. I know you've played it, haven't you, Boxy?
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I've always been a bit meh about roguelikes. But I think Sifu does something quite original and really interesting.
Just so you don't know, Boxy, a roguelike is where sort of if you die, you Sorry? Go all the way back to the start. That's what a roguelike game is, if that helps you.
I think this in-joke is too obscure at this point. People are literally going to think that I don't know what a roguelike is. And I need to provide the context. Like, we did a trivia round where Tom was being a bastard, saying that Souls-like is the same as roguelike. And I was like, well, clearly not. That's a ridiculous thing to say. And I had to explain it to him. So now he's turning it back on me every single time I mention roguelike. Anyway, Sifu's great. I got so addicted to that game. And I think the first time I played it, I got to like level 2 or something, and then I died, and then I thought, oh, so I'm just going to go back to level 2, and then it was, nope, you're going way back to the beginning. But what carries it is because it is such a short game in itself, mm-hmm. and the combat is so addictive, you don't get bored, and there is this real determination to get it perfect. And I was even playing it to a point where if I died even on like level 2, I'd start the whole thing again. Mm-hmm. Because I just wanted to perfect it as best I can. I didn't get the platinum because I thought the third boss and the fifth boss were right bastards. I couldn't get.
Is the fifth boss you're talking about the last boss?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The third one is the one that throws the little shurikens at you, and she's like,
it's the lady, and like you're like in a cloud world.
Yeah. I've got her down to a T. She's the next one I need to get to, but I want to do the level before without losing any deaths, like losing any lives, if you know what I mean? So I have not got back to her, but I think I'll be able to do her without any deaths, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's that they said it's a 2D beat-em-up kind of design, but in a third-person perspective, and I thought actually that not many people have actually done that before.
Yeah,
and the fact you can just pick up like sticks and bottles and things and mess around with those as well. And I'm not massive on 2D brawlers, but this just clicked for me. So I'm glad you liked it. Keep going. I'll actually be very impressed if you got the platinum for it.
It gives me sort of vibes of like old school Streets of Rage, but the combat gives me the feeling of like playing Batman Arkham games when I first played those. The combat is not similar to it, but the flow of it, I remember first like taking out bad guys and stuff in Batman and being like, I look like a badass. I'm like, it seems seamless. It seems fluid. That's what the combat's like. And when you perfect a level and you perfect a boss, it is just chef's kiss. It makes you feel like a complete badass. So I'm absolutely loving that at the minute. So yeah, so that's what I've been playing recently. So now we move on to the trivia round that has the sexiest Mackham Yorkshire accent theme tune. Take it away, young Boxy of Arthood.
Thank you. It occurred to me that I'm changing up the theme tune every now and then, but if there's any newcomers coming along to this project, or whatever you want to call it, they might get a bit confused. So we're just going in old school raw today.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Da 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 da. How am I supposed to know that?
And if you are new to this podcast, that is supposed to be my accent. In the comments, where does he sound like he's from?
I think people just think it's you, Tom. It's so uncanny. I don't think they'll be able to tell us apart. This is trivia. This is my favourite part of the podcast. It's where we find out whether Tom is a true gamer or whether he's one of these posers who thinks that Yakuza is some sort of bovine-based wart cream. Now, that's good. That is very clever.
Is that a play on Bazooka That Faruga?
It is.
Yakuza That... Why is it got to do with bovine, though?
Well, I thought a yak was a goat.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not.
It's like a cow?
It's a bovine. Cow? Bovine is what they said. So, and it's a nice play on words. You can say bovine base, which is a nice bit of alliteration. So I thought that worked.
You do realise bovine is a cow?
Yeah, but a yak is part of that family.
So when I say it's a hairy cow, I'm right. Just say yes, Tom. You don't have to fucking correct me.
Okay. So remember like way back when I did the Tinder one and you completely threw your toys out the pram?
Don't tell us you've done another Tinder one.
Well, I thought I'd enlighten you and no, I haven't done another Tinder one.
Thank fuck for that.
Just kidding, I actually have. Oh. So we are doing Tinder profiles again.
This isn't me playing it up for like the podcast. This is shit. Come on.
Well, I've put a bit more thought into it because I actually listened to your criticism from the last time and I've made it easier.
So have you listened to my criticism and you admit I was right?
No, I am meeting you halfway.
Can you meet me halfway?
Because that's what all good partnerships are based on.
That's what our console rankings in the last few episodes proved.
All that proved to me is if you don't get your own way, you cry like an absolute bitch.
All it proved to me is I was happy to compromise and you weren't. So when I realised that, I thought, well, fuck you. I'm actually making the list.
Yeah. It's what happens when you're in the editor chair. You can just do whatever you want. I'm just
What do you mean when I do the work? We can swap this if you want. You can do the recording, edit the recordings, upload the recordings, put all the writing on. Do you want to do that?
Nah, you're good.
All right.
I do appreciate you, Tom.
I know.
And you can appreciate this hot gold that's coming your way. So I have made some Tinder profiles for famous video game characters. And all you have to do, it's very simple, is guess who it is.
It's very simple if they're good clues. It's not very simple if they're like, oh, I breathe air and I wear clothes, which was these clues basically last time.
Yes, you're not exaggerating at all. Right, you're killing time. Come on. Right, ready?
Yep.
Oh, this person looks sexy. Let's see what they say. You spin me right round, baby, right round. Be my precious gem, and I'll take a bite of your forbidden fruit. P.S. Hope you like masks in the bedroom.
See, now this was good because I got it from, like, the first line. The first line gave me inklings, you spin me right round. Then we've got into gems, and we got onto a bit... Wumper.
Yeah.
It is Crash Bandicoot.
I would just like to say that because you kicked off so bad last time, I've massively made this so easy.
You haven't made it easy, you've just made it fun. By the way, you just called Crash Bandicoot sexy, so we know that you're now a closet furry.
Mate, girly Crash Bandicoot in number one.
But is she actually like an animal, or is it just like We'll make it orange. It's just like a woman, an orange woman with tits.
Oh no, she's an animal. She's a cat or something or whatever.
It's like is it Candy Kong in Donkey Kong? Like everyone looks like a monkey, but she's just a pair of tits with fur.
That's where all the marketing budget went. Right.
That's where my Kleenex went.
So you've swiped right on that one, yeah?
Does that mean I got it right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yes, and I did.
Okay, let's look at this one. Ooh, okay. Interesting. Let me photograph every inch of your dirty war zone. All I need is 3 days.
Yeah. What? Dirty war zone. 3 days. Like, as soon as you said war zone, I just thought of Call of Duty. Because of Call of Duty war zone, but 3 days. But there's no one. Call of Duty war zone's just like Fortnite, isn't it? There's no main characters.
You've missed out a key bit at the beginning there.
Oh, wait, give us the beginning again.
Let me photograph every inch of your dirty war zone. All I need is 3 days.
Blanked on his name. It's a Dead Rising protagonist. Frank?
Yeah, half
Miller?
A point.
Miller?
No. Oh, dearie me.
Frank Miller's the horror director, isn't he?
I think Frank Miller's a cartoonist, isn't he?
Is he? Oh, yes, Frank Miller is
Sin City.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Frank, I can't get Frank the Tank out of my head. Frank, give his
call
initial.
Call yourself a gamer.
Give his initial. I don't know the name of
W.
Frank Williams, Wallace, Frank Warner, Frank Williams.
This is too
West.
Painful to listen to.
West.
There's no way you're getting that half a point.
Frank West.
You might as well have just got out a big book of names and just gone down all the ones which began with W.
Well, I did think West at first, but then I thought I was mixing up with Fred West. And that's a completely different game. That's a patio conversion simulator.
Yeah. Clever, right?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I need to listen from the start because I really didn't hear that photograph one the first time.
It's important. Every word's important.
Okay.
Okay, question three. Join my resistance. Hang on a minute. This one's a bit short. It just says, join my resistance and I'll give you the best BJ of your life.
BJ Blaskovich.
Very good. Do you know what his actual name is?
Oh, it's got to be something proper like American.
Blaskovich is his last name. I meant his first name.
No. I'm saying like BJ has got to be... Is it Bill Jones?
It's William. I don't know what William. The J stands for.
Oh, well, so you asked us a question you didn't know the answer for.
Well, no, I said, do you know what his first name is?
Oh, but you said it as in like, ooh, this is a bonus point, not as in a I don't know either.
No bonus points here.
Can I have a bonus point then?
Can you admit at the halfway point that this is actually pretty good?
Yes, this is good. This is better. Like I said, the premise of the round wasn't bad last time. It was the clues. Can you remember what episode it is? Because I feel like if you haven't heard it, listeners, you need to go back and listen to it and realise how atrocious it was.
We grow as we go along, don't we?
Okay. We help each other grow.
Okay. Oh, I like the look of this one.
Oh.
My love will deliver like a wave of electricity. Let me fizzle your nizzle and let's let the sparks fly.
My wave electricity? Raiden? Raiden?
Nope.
Mm. It's got to be... Who else? I'm thinking of... I know it's not Fortune from Metal Gear Solid. I'm just trying to think of... But I'm thinking of electric. A wave of electric. Oh, I'm struggling with this one. I'm struggling.
It's Cole McGrath from Infamous.
I've not played it.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Does he fly on lightning or something?
Sorry?
Does he fly on his lightning or something?
Yeah, he's an electric superpower, so he's got electricity coming out of every orifice.
Oh, electric piss. Mine sometimes feels like it's electric when I piss, but I think the doctor said that isn't sexually transmitted disease.
Together in electric dreams.
Right. How many more we got? How
And
many we
there's a nice
got?
little clue there because it said, "My love will de-" Hold on, I'm going back to one. It was clever because I said, "My love will deliver like a wave of electricity," because he's a delivery person.
Yeah, it
So
was probably
yeah,
a
if you
good.
played the
If
game,
you
you'd
play
know
the
that.
game, yeah, I think it was probably good. I'm not going to rag on that one. I don't know the character enough to get that one. I'm not going to say that's a shit clue. It was just I didn't know the character.
Thank you. So this is the last one. Here we go. I can bake some great desserts. Trust me, I'm not lying. And we can take some great photos with the aperture nice and wide.
See, sometimes with these ones, when I get it early on, I don't want you to go any further because you'll feel like I got it from like Aperture and stuff like that. I got it from the cake one. Is it GLaDOS?
Well done.
Yeah, that was a
Yeah,
good
so there's
one.
two clues in there. I can bake a great dessert. So cake, trust me, I'm not lying, which is the meme, the cake is a lie.
Yep.
And aperture science.
Yeah, you
Now
didn't have
you've
to explain
got,
it. It was quite apparent.
well, yeah, but we have to explain for the folks at home,
Are you
don't we?
calling the folks at home stupid?
No, but clearly not everyone's as switched on as you are.
Well, thank you for that.
Anyway, so yeah, you did quite well. You got one and a half, two, four, can't even count. Three, we'll say three,
I was going to
which
say,
is.
well, it's about four questions you asked us, and you can't count up how many points I've got.
Three and a half.
Out of four.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
no,
that's
it's out of
good.
five.
Oh.
So you got one wrong and you didn't get half of one.
That's 70%. That's a decent return on.
Yep, that's a
Yeah.
C. Well done. Okay,
70% is
let's.
not a C. 70% is definitely B territory.
Is it?
In university, you pass with like 40%.
Yeah, I know
Yeah.
all about
Yeah, because
that.
you were down there around the plug hole, weren't
I was down in that area
you?
with all the other plebs.
Right.
Right. Congratulations. You get a nice little send off because of that. Da, 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 da. I think I knew that.
Is this what I'm going to get now? I'm going to get a good theme tune when I do well, and a bad one when I don't. It's like a game with multiple choice endings.
There's many layers to my trivia, trust me.
Layers. Right, thank you very much for that trivia, Boxy. Let us know in the comments what you thought about it. Anyway, we are on to our confessions. We're doing confessions of a game, and if you have any, these are the ones that we really want to hear in the comments. Either drop them on the podcast, Instagram, our TikTok, 30-something gamers, the number 30 or something gamers, while we give you our confessions. Now, it seems like Boxy has been a much naughtier boy than me because he has two confessions and I only have one. So, would you like to sandwich me, Daddy, and start off with your first confession, Boxy?
Do I have to get in sexy priest mode? Oh, okay. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Are you hard?
Well, you do say you were going to be a sexy priest, and it wouldn't be the priest saying that, would it?
Oh no, it wouldn't. It would be the
The
confessioner.
confessor.
All right, but I have to do it in two ways. Hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Tell me what's the matter, my son.
Why are you like half panting? Is this based on someone from your life?
I mean, they do hide behind those little walls, don't they? Who knows what's going on behind there?
You've got a lot of pent up feelings about sexy priests. I'm
Right.
just
I
saying.
chose this one first because it's probably the least frisky one of that, the two of them.
Okay.
But some people agree with me on this, but I don't know. Some people are like, what the hell? So here we go. I think that Subnautica is one of the scariest games ever made.
Okay.
You
Okay.
played it?
I've seen a lot of footage of it, I think, because I think a lot of people stream it. So I've
Yeah.
seen a lot of it. I mean, are you scared of water or the ocean?
I never thought I was, but there is something just so uncomfortable about that game. And just for full context, Subnautica has a rating of 7, PEGI 7. So many people can play it. And I suppose like the moment to moment is not scary at all, but there's just something so uncomfortable about playing it. And it might be how open the world is, or the fact that you're completely isolated. There's this sense of discovery throughout where you're just going into these unknown areas, and it's all about oxygen management. So you can very easily put yourself in a hole and can't get out, and it's basically a death sentence. And just something about that makes me gives me so much anxiety. And aside from that, there's also like some jump scares as well. Like if you go outside of too far out of the map, like a space a sea monster will kind of grab you and pull you back in and kind of roar in your face, and that's a real sort of streaming what the fuck sort of moment.
I've never seen a fish roar.
Google it or YouTube it. Like seriously, the first time you see it, you're like, Jesus Christ. But aside from that, because that is intentionally scary, there is just this open kind of like loneliness about the game. And exploring the sea and worrying about oxygen and trying to survive and going into places where there are things which are untoward and there's things which are dangerous down there and not being near your base. And it all kind of adds into this hot anxiety stew, which I do not enjoy.
Now,
I think it's a
when I've seen footage of this game, it tends to be like lots of open water. Are there parts of this game where you're like sort of claustrophobic in caved areas and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So a lot of it is kind of taking risks and looking at your oxygen and saying, can I go and explore that? And will I make it out alive? That you have to really put some strategy behind it because you can make bases and you can build kind of oxygen way stations and things. But it's all about advancing in the world and trying to find what's going on. And you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean. And something about that just puts me on edge.
Yeah, I can sort of see it now because at first I was going to call you a pussy ass bitch because like the thought for me of being in the sea and stuff doesn't. I was like, what are you talking about? But have you ever seen like videos of people, they call it spelunking or whatever it is, where
The
they're in,
caves, yeah.
they're in the caves that are like literally like titty tight, like there is no way to move. I cannot watch them videos. They honestly bring anxiety out of me. I'm like, why would anyone want to do this for fun? So if the section's a little bit like that, I can probably see if you're a little girly boy like yourself, that could be scary.
I think as well, because you're a character who doesn't really talk, and it's all kind of memos and documents and stuff that you're picking up. So it is a really quiet, immersive game, and there aren't many NPC. Well, there's barely any NPCs. You really feel like you're completely alone and completely stranded. And then the second one, Subnautica Below Zero, kind of fucked it up because they brought in another character, which was kind of a wisecracking sort of NPC, and it just completely took that, feeling away. So that's where I am, and I've talked about it a few times, and some people have agreed, and they said absolutely, like I hate playing this game; it's just so stressful. And other people are just like, "What are you on about? It's a nice little whimsical ocean world, which is full of color and discovery, and
Well, like I
it."
say, it depends whether you're a little bitch like yourself or a real human being. So,
Well,
yeah, I do.
before you pass judgment, why don't you play it
I'll
yourself?
play it on stream with my big boy pants on. How about that, eh? You can come in and watch how a real man lets a fish roar in his face. I'll slap the fucking taste out of it.
The first time that happens, you're going to shit your dirty northern pants,
No, I
trust me.
am not. No, I am not. Anyway, let's get on to. You know, when I was thinking of confessions, the reason I've only got one is I don't think I really have any. Like, everything I thought about was a bit more of like a hot take than a confession.
Well, it is a hot take, isn't it? Because you're like ashamed of it, or well, not ashamed of it, but you're scared about talking about it to other people because
Well,
it's
I'm
hot.
not with hot takes though. I'll just tell people that I'm right and they're wrong.
Yeah, and how's that worked out?
Pretty good. Like, I've got my own
Mm-hmm.
podcast, 16,000 followers. I mean, I've had better than a kick in the fucking Jacob's crackers.
If you say so.
Yeah. And
go on then.
But so I was trying to think, and I also think that it's maybe because I don't have really much shame. So stuff that I've maybe done or things like that, like, I'd probably just tell anyway. Like, if I'd shit myself on stream, I probably would have admitted it straight away. Like, I wouldn't have sat there pretending that I wasn't sitting in a pool in my own poo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've not really... But the one thing I was thinking about, and what people probably, like, give us grief for that I don't really see it, is I think I may enjoy the thrill of the chase when it comes to collecting games, and the thrill of having a collection as much, if not more, than playing the games themselves.
Can I weigh in on that one?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're just about the collecting.
Really?
Yes.
Why? What gives you that impression?
Because, having known you for quite a short time, you like a challenge.
Yeah.
And platinum hunting, wanting to launch podcasts, like, you've got a very innovative mind. And I think your goal of having, like, the best PS2 collection or the Xbox 360 collection and just showing people, like, look what I've got, and it's not a bad thing, is where you get your shits and giggles from. And I think playing games, yes, it's, you like it and it's important to you, but that is just a subheading to your main
goal. Yeah. I honestly think, when I was thinking about it properly, is with my ADHD, I have hyper focuses. Now, gaming for me has never been a hyper focus. It's been a constant. I've went into all sorts, like, I support Sunderland, I'm a big football fan, but then I'll go through a year or 2 years where it is everything I do, to the point where I was, like, writing for a Sunderland fan magazine and stuff like that. And then every now and again I'll dip back into professional wrestling, and I'll be like, that'll be all the media that I take in and stuff like that. Video game's never been like that. Video game has always been something that I've needed in my life. It can calm me. It keeps me busy. I love narrative stories and stuff like that. I love gaming. But at the minute, and it has been for a long time, my gaming collection, I think, is my hyper focus. And when I've got a hyper focus, there is nothing that can give me more sort of dopamine than that hyper focus. So, yeah. At the minute, I'm like, it'll probably go where the hyperfocus will go, and I'll still probably keep collecting, but it won't be everything that I live for, and the game will be back on top. But at the minute, finding rare games, adding in, watching the collection percentage go up and stuff like that, I love and I enjoy, and it's something about that chase and stuff. And I know I'm going to have loads of people in the comments like, oh, he's not a real gamer and stuff like that. Like, I've been gaming 30-odd years. Like, that's never going to change. I love new games. Like, when you hear me talk about games like Expedition 33 and stuff, when I play them, I do absolutely adore them. But at the minute, I think the collection gives me more of a buzz when I find stuff I'm looking for, or when I add stuff in.
I completely get it. And I'm not anywhere near your level or anything like that, but the thrill of ordering a game and it arriving, in opening it up and putting it on the shelf, and yeah, it gives you a huge, like, buzz. I mean, it happened to me the other day. I was thinking about what I might want, you know, around the Christmas time, because I do kind of tend to buy a lot of things around Christmas because there's a lot of sales and
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah.
And Castlevania Collection, you can buy it on store for like £4, but on physical it's like £60.
Christ.
And it's not like, it's a no-brainer, like, it should be a no-brainer,
yeah.
But part of me is like, I just want that on the shelf, like,
yeah.
I just think it'd be such a cool thing.
Yeah, and it comes to the same with me, because I've got a lot of digital games because I've had on PS Plus for years. So, like, if you go on my, you know, when you go on your PlayStation, you go on games and you go on collection, and it includes, like, I think it's, like, quite cool that on my collection it says, like, 300-400 games, that are games that I don't have on my shelf because they're all PS Plus games. Mm. But then at the same point, when I'm doing collection streams and someone's like, have you got Until Dawn? I, like, almost apologise that I've only got it digitally. I'm like, oh, no, I've only got that digitally. And I would go If I'm in CEX or any other retro store, if there's a game I already have and maybe have completed it, but I've got it digitally and it's cheap enough, I will buy it just to have it on the shelf.
Yeah.
And that's not even thinking like, oh, because I want to give money to developers, because I'm probably buying it secondhand. It's just, I don't know whether it's like, a lot of times we talk about stuff with my kids and stuff when I'm thinking about it, and I've got a little 1-year-old at the minute. We talk about object permanence, and like sort of, she's at the age now where she's getting object permanence, which is when you move an item out of the way, she still knows it exists. It's like it's there. Whereas when she was a bit younger, once you take it away, that's it. It disappears. I don't know whether it's like an adult version of that. Like if it's not there on my shelf, I don't have it. I don't own it.
Here's a question. Here's a quick, because I'm getting into Sexy Priest again, because I'm questioning this, because this is a good confession, right? My son, I hear what you're saying. Do you believe that your collection comes from a drive to get status, to be appreciated from other people, or is this just for you?
I honestly think it is something about having full set. It's nothing to do. Like, if I go downstairs in my collection now, I have a clear tub of, about 100 to 200 Sonic the comics that I have as a kid. And I would love having every Sonic the comic. When I used to play games before, like, Platinums, I would want to do everything on the game. Like, I remember having GoldenEye and wanting to unlock all the cheats and defeat everything on 00 Agent mode, so I had everything. Now, if I'm thinking about now, because I could think about, well, yeah, the trophies are showing off in status as well, and the collection showing off in status now that I've got a sort of platform. But I've been collecting 12 years, and I've only been streaming 2, and it's the same with sort of the gaming. I would do it on the on GoldenEye when no one would know that I had everything unlocked and stuff on the memory card and my memory card. But I would love completing games to completion. It's something about complete and complete sets. I remember as a kid maybe getting my first ever erection at a young age because I had every single Mr. Men, and it made that little worm that said Mr. Men. It's just something inside us that wants full collections or full sets. I honestly don't know what it is. It's probably some childhood trauma, probably something that I blocked out. But
Mr. Tickle abused you.
Yeah, he did. He did. You want to see what Mr. Happy did and why he got his name?
Mr. Bump. Hey. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing with that, my son.
Thank you. Can I do my sexy priest for you?
God, yeah, right.
Hello there, child.
I've just gone flaccid.
Oh, well, that's what the Catholic Church needs more of, doesn't it? Unappealing priests.
Where do you sign up, Tom?
Right, let's get away from these murky waters. What, my child, do you have to confess?
Okay. So I would just like to say that I admire this gaming series an enormous amount, and this is no criticism.
No. This is what you used to do in the original episodes. When we used to do your hot take, you always used to be like, I don't want to offend anyone. Just fucking go in, balls deep. Whoever is offended, fuck them. Go ahead.
Okay. I think the Metal Gear Solid series is so badly written.
You prick! How dare you! I was thinking about something along these lines, but I thought it was more of a hot take.
I mean, yeah, hot take confession. It's the same kettle of fish, isn't it? I mean, so here's the thing. I love these games. I really, really do. But I don't get the whole, it's the renaissance of writing. It's beautiful character development. It's, you know, I just think it's a bonkers story and it's stupid. And like, why are we putting Hideo Kojima's writing on this pedestal and saying he is like the pioneer of it? Because it's just dumb. And it's entertaining, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the moment to moment, like the conversations on the codec and everything like that, it's honestly awful when you really listen to it. And I hark back to what South Park always says when they were taking the mick out of Inception. They said, just because something's complicated does not mean it's brilliant.
Yeah. You know, when I was thinking about maybe making this point, I was thinking about Metal Gear Solid 4, Metal Gear Solid 5 in particular. But for me, Hideo Kojima's genius comes in his, like, cinematography, how he sets a scene, how Metal Gear Solid 1 felt like the first time I was playing a movie, you know what yeah. I mean? And the, like you say, the epicness, the little details and stuff, like in Metal Gear Solid 2, like ice melting in real time, and the clever things he puts in with how you can beat bosses in different ways and stuff, and thinking yeah. outside the box and the fourth wall breaks, not his writing ability.
No, he is an extraordinary innovator.
Yeah.
And you can look at the Metal Gear Solid games as being great boundary breakers for what you can achieve in a video game. I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. But his writing leaves way more to be... what's that phrase?
Desired. You know
what I mean? Way more to be desired. He just needs an editor. Like, he needs somebody to rein him in a bit.
Sort of Hideo Kojima working with, like, the writers from, like, Rockstar, like, that worked on Red Dead Redemption or The Last of Us and stuff like that. Imagine if they had, like, narrative control, or even Remedy. Like, they had narrative control, but he had, like, the vision and all that would be really good. Because I love Death Stranding, but I don't know what the fuck is happening.
No. And, like, fair enough. Very impressive, very ambitious, like trying to pull in all these threads and stuff. But you get to a point where you're like, I can't follow this anymore. Like, it's completely lost all its weight and meaning to me. Yeah. And as you say, Metal Gear Solid 4, I mean, Metal Gear Solid 2 is a very complicated game, but it does explore some really interesting themes and ideas.
And most of them are coming true right now.
Yeah, they are. And it's more relevant now than it's ever been. So he's got great ideas, but putting them down on paper is another story entirely. He just needs somebody to rein him in a bit.
Do you think he gets away with it because no one has reined him in for years and everyone sucks at the cock of Kojima? And so now he just has he just thinks he is that amazing because no one said, actually, Hidi, that's a bit shit. It's a bit mental. Like, can we bring it back a bit?
It's just the constant repeating of everything. And I know, like, they have this B-movie feel to them, all these games. But part of me thinks Hideo Kojima is taking this so seriously. Like, he doesn't think this is hammy. He thinks this is actually brilliant. And he generally thinks it's some new way of writing. Because the Kodak conversations, like, an average conversation in Metal Gear Solid goes, Snake, we need you to go to the tower and collect the code so we can blow up the Metal Gear. Go to the tower? Collect the codes to blow up the Metal Gear? You don't need that line.
No, I agree. Well, you know what it is? I agree with that. In the comments, if you are absolutely seething at us, drop it in. Let us know. Please, if you absolutely hate what we've said, please don't leave a rating. That's all I'm going to say.
I think his brand is so well respected at the moment that anything he does, you could look at it as being brilliant. Mm-hmm. And he's in the same realm as, like, Stanley Kubrick and all these people who, no matter what they put out, people are going to find gold in it, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. fantastic. It's a great position to be in. But if you look at... Do you remember that game Bionic Commando, which came out on PS3?
Yeah, the remake of the old NES game.
Yeah, so right at the end, you find out that he's got a dead relative.
Oh, I was going to say spoilers because I knew what you were going to say. Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah. He's got a dead relative in his bionic arm. And people literally took the piss out of them. They said, that is the most ridiculous thing on the planet. Like, this game is shit. What a terrible twist to a story. Hideo Kojima did the exact same thing in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Who's it got the...
Ocelot's got liquid in his arm, hasn't he?
Well, he's in two, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, it's so confusing. And it's like, oh, Hideo Kojima does it. It's like the greatest literacy work of our age. But anyone else who tries dumb ideas like that is a complete fucking moron. Like.
I agree with you. So let's know in the comments what you think about that. And we are on to our last part of the podcast. Sorry to move us on quickly, viewers and Boxy. We were having a lovely conversation there. But we have, for the last seven episodes, tried to hit about 45 minutes for the podcast. And I can see it's creeping up at 50 at the minute. So I'm going to move us on. So, the video game buster. This is what you come for. Last week, we had a cryptic clue that will lead you to the name of a video game. And this one was a very highbrow video game buster. Just to remind you of it, it was, "Oi, Perry! Can I lick your arsehole?" Now, did you get anywhere near the answer, young Artie?
I've got the answer.
You've got the answer. How, what percent sure are you?
100%.
So, right now, sometimes you do have the right answer, but you have a really bad way of explaining why it's the answer. So go on, have another go.
Okay,
How,
so
explain the answer. Yeah.
this was a very 30-something gamers apt rockbuster, I thought, because you said Perry, and I thought, right, how many people in the world are called Perry? Probably like three.
Okay.
But the one that resonates with me the most was Kevin and Perry, which was a double act between Harry Enfield and Kathy Burke.
Yes.
So, and then arsehole licking, we got to Katha Rim.
Cats.
Catherine.
Yeah, Cat's Rim. Catherine. Brilliant. And we know you love that game because it's a little bit smutty. So I knew you would get one. And you say, well done to you at home and to Boxy if you got it. Oi, Perry, can I lick your arsehole? Was Cat's Rim. Catherine. Brilliant game. Well, an okay game. I didn't love it a lot. Anyway, the next one. Are you ready? You might need a pen for this one if you're going to try and guess it over the week, Boxy.
Oh,
Are you
giving me
ready?
work. Okay, go for it. Yep.
That rapper that loves oil was throwing out slurs at the King Ape.
I've got it.
Have you?
That's the easiest one you've done so far.
Is it really? Let me know in the comments if you get that
Yes.
one. Is it the easiest one? That rubber. That's a rubber. That rapper that loves oil was throwing out slurs at the King Ape. Is that really the easiest one I've done?
Yeah, literally, I got it in, I don't know, 2 seconds.
Oh, I've let
But we'll talk
myself
about it
down.
off
Yeah,
recording.
I have let myself down. Anyway, thank you so much for theme. For it's been a long night. Thank you so much for joining us for season 2, episode 19 of 30 Something Gamers. So always remember out there, if you're not enjoying playing a game, go out and buy one instead. It'll be more thrilling. And Hideo Kojima can't write for shit. It's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me, my sons.